Hiya. I'm presuming the technology's all working fine. I'm not getting all the videos through, but yes, if avail, if you could just give me a thumbs down if at any point something goes wrong. Lovely to be here and brilliant night. I came a complete cropper on the 5-word poem. I sort of tried to write a nonsense breakfast involving grapefruit and it just went, you know how occasionally it does. But I'm going to read different kinds of poems. I thought 5 or 6 different kinds of poems because I like writing different kinds of poems. I'm going to start off with some haiku. Most of you will know haiku are Japanese poems, very often quite reflective, 17 syllables, and very often involving cherry blossom and the moon. And they're beautiful, but I did get frustrated with them after a point. And I ended up coming across some overheard conversation haiku, which revived my interest in haiku. I was just sitting down listening to some people chatting, and I thought, oh, that's quite a nifty little haiku. And so after that point, I started collecting these, and I collected them for 5 or 6 years, and I've got 6 altogether. So I thought I'd read them out. The first one was overheard outside the hairdresser's. "It's so red, isn't it? I only went for highlights. Well, what can you do?" That's that one. Second one was overheard in Waitrose. I'm thinking of doing a series of different supermarket haikus. "Charles, you've had your treat. Put that falafel down. You chose olives with manchego." Third one was a found haiku, and it was on one of those job advertisement postcards on the Australian-themed walkabout bar in Barnsley in the north of England. And the postcard just read, "Walkabout bar seeks part-time evening bar staff. No Muppets or princesses," which I suspect is discriminationist to Muppets and princesses, but they do have a hard time. So next one, overheard in an independent cinema in Sheffield, a couple in the row just behind me. He leans over and says to her, "What's all this then, love? Subtitles? I didn't come here to bloody well read." Two more. Next one was another found haiku, which was a poster on the gate of the Holy Trinity Church in Stratford. "Looking for Jesus, Shakespeare, or Pokemon, they are all in here." Which I think is good marketing by the Church of England. And the last one was the very first one that I heard, and I overheard it in a cafe. Two people sitting at the table just about 3 feet away from me, and one of them looked at the other and she said, "Mini market's gone. I don't know why we came back from Australia." Didn't have to write it. That's what. One of the great things, just pick them up. They're all over the place. This next poem is a poem that I wrote after listening to a radio program which was describing how Lidl supermarket, like other supermarkets, stock various products in order to attract a range of people into the supermarket. So they were describing how basically they deliberately stock nice wines in order that they can get middle-class shoppers into the supermarket. And it's called Let's Not Talk About Class. "Let's not talk about class. Now we've got Lidl, the shop with victuals for lower, middle, upper. Cheap beans for those with means. Spanish wines on offer for the meal. He calls tea, she calls supper, they call dinner. Let's not talk about class now. Mariana goes to Argos, Adrian to Happy Shopper, in every bar, Prosecco, Every little helps. Everyone at Tesco, ever since Thatcher when the mines went dark. Class has been forgotten unless you're at the bottom. Now something is rotten in the state of Primark. Let's not talk about class. It's a confused situation since all that education in the 60s to noughties ball. 3 degrees for all in all. You're just another, just another, just another. Want a nice life in the wall. Let's not talk about class. Now we think we're all connected. One world, one web. No one is rejected. Let's not talk about class because we're British and reserved. Dreadfully sorry, but the idea is absurd. Let's not talk about class, status, or permission to remain. Did you come by boat or truck or underneath a train? Let's not talk about class or the Brexit shout from those with nout, but cross enough to put across to say we want out. Let's talk about this farce as the gap grows wider between Champagne Charlie, loud and confident, chins of entitlement, to Simon, who drinks cheap cider. Tuition fees, so no degree. Found a job, age 22. Firm went bust, some silly fuss about the EU. 0 hours to zero job, to no coffees in Cafe Nero. 10 days later, homeless, working class, no hero. On the street, cold with fright. At night, just takes his shoes off. Snuggles onto cardboard, dreams of grand designs and bake off. So if you've moral dilemmas, giving dosh to beggars and past Simon in Tesco's doorway, keep your fingers crossed that his loss isn't shortly coming your way. And the next time you're a Lidl, as you wheel past meals in crazy deals down the middle aisles, just thank your stars and smile. Here's the town, here's the steeple, here's the people, people, people. And thank you. Next poem is a poem from the new book, which is called Sniffing Lamppost by Moonlight. It's a book which I got carried away and started to write one poem about a dog about 3 years ago, and I've ended up with a whole book of poems about dogs. And this is a poem which is on behalf of a pug. I started to do a bit of research into pugs, and obviously they've been bred for their looks, but at expense of their health. Here is a fine pug, just to remind you of how a pug's face looks. I've never quite understood why people find them so attractive, but this is called Pug. All over Europe, I was top dog one time. All charm and big eyes, cute but hench, little tail curled on me back. I knew what to do, play with the kids, follow them like a shadow. Made a name for myself. I mean, only ended up in bed with Napoleon's trouble and strife. Look at this lot, chaise bloody long, all posh bling, isn't it? Feel the pile on that. But as my consultant says, pug, you better write your memoirs now, my boy, while you can. Because I'm afraid your bone house is right up the Khyber. And your breathing's truly knackered, what with your pinched nostrils and elongated palate. Best not to Google what Doc tells you, I say. But in the circs, I couldn't resist it. Pharyngeal gag reflex. Would you, Adam and Eve it? No wonder I've been bloody gasping and snorting. But I've had fun. I had me heydays. Fed best meat and rice I was. Given rank and status. Me own palace and servants in China. Only painted by Hogarth and Goya. This is what happens when posh gits take you in. Feed you up, squash you in, make you even cuter. Messed up me boat race, no end. In fact, me whole bloody health went down the Mississippi. Wheezing, skin fold, dermatitis, hip dysplasia, demodectic mange. I've Googled them all. Not pretty. And the last straw, me left mince pie keeps bloody popping out. It's all in my memoirs. You look out for it. This mug will be on the front cover. And I've got the title now, Big Eyes and Breathless. Thank you. The poems about dogs were written and then I turned them into a show. So I thought I'd, and the show has various different kinds of poems in. And I thought I'd do a very short sort of punk poem that I wrote for the show. And it comes at a point in the show where I've decided that I've sort of possibly turned into a dog. And I start to write campaign poems on behalf of dogs. And this poem is called Puppy Right. It's got a bit of joining in. When I do this bit, you might want to all unmute and go, rah, 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 rah. We'll get to that bit in a bit. Or don't unmute. I don't know whether we can unmute all at the same time or how you want to do that, Avel, but we'll see what happens. Just do it in the privacy of your own sitting rooms. I think that's the best way. So I go around the charity shops, buy myself a balaclava and take to impromptu performances on the streets of Leamington Spa. Pet dogs are the bourgeoisie, household gods of security. We're modern dogs, can't you see? You took us in, you took control. Now we're used to the home pets role, professional pets, don't you know? We shared the road of evolution, thought it was a mutual solution. Nutrition, love, love nutrition. Now it's puppy farms everywhere. Almost citizens, is that fair? You throw us sticks, but do you care? We've had enough of keeping quiet. Puppy riot, puppy riot. Time for dogs to find their way. Okay, joining in. Time for dogs to find their way. We share dominion like a crown. You chase the strays out of town. You put us up, you put us down. If we've got breeding, we're okay. Lucky ones get the DNA. Always the way, always the way. We've had enough of keeping quiet. Puppy riot, puppy riot. Time for dogs to find their way. Joining in. Brilliant. Ace, very good barking. So this next poem is a complete change of tone, and I wasn't going to read this poem, but I thought I would from Emily's wonderful poem from her teaching experience. And it's a poem that I wrote. I go into school sometimes, and I noticed that increasingly in the corridors and on the walls, there was the language of the curriculum being put up so that students understood what it was that they were trying to attain. And obviously the language of the curriculum is quite complicated and it's quite obscure. And in theory, it's meant to be so that pupils can set their own targets. What an exciting thing to do. And I was getting increasingly cross about this. And then I went into a school one day, and on the whiteboard was an instruction for a group of 10-year-olds, year fives in this country. And the instruction was, write an account of your half-term holiday using complex sentences. No, please don't. Write in simple flames the joy or horror or the boredom of it. It was yours. Now is the time to stop listening when people tell you what to do. Write any length sentences you want. Write strong and true. Don't dismiss the sentimental. Try telling it, not showing it. Use short words with strong vowel sounds like mud and stuck. Don't go on half-term holidays if you might have to write about them. distrust words like education, education, education. Treat all adults with a healthy dose of suspicion. Trust love, distrust love. Keep chewing gum in your hair. Remember, some teachers are not human. Write about having fun. Grab whatever weapons you can lay your hands on. Be wary of talk until things actually happen. Only believe what you can feel. Enjoy sherbet lemons. Experiment with the heartfelt. Be heartfelt with the experimental. Eat ice cream before it melts. Don't be too gentle. Kick off. Remember, the pen is less painful than the scalpel. Question everything you are told. Take from old people what you can. Have fun before the rent gets your cash card. Don't listen to poems that tell you what to do. Watch the sun rise. Drink ginger beer. Stay positive until the aliens get you. Thank you. And I'm just going to do two more poems. And this next poem is a poem which is a celebration of all things written word. And if anybody's got a biro, they might want to use the biro during the poem. So pick up your biros or your pencils. I love the biro, invented by Laszlo Biro over 75 years ago. There are more biros in our computers, and that gives me great hope. And approximately 4 billion biros are sold every year. So, if you're cross about the news and you want to light a fuse, go biro. If you're young and feeling tender, if you're old and it's December, go biro. You're picking it up. If you want to write a revenge sonnet on your ex-boyfriend's car bonnet, go biro. If you've got people trying to destroy you, or you're just feeling paranoia, go biro. If you want to write a novel, it's no good with a shovel. Go biro. If you want to feel the power between your fingers, hold this blue flower. If you want to be funny, sad, or deep, and you want an art that's really, really cheap, go biro. If you want a bag or a pocket to contain a tiny, joyous rocket, go biro. I love the biro. Anybody love the biro? Who loves the biro?
No idea.
Cheapest business in town. I'm going to finish off with this poem, which came to my mind because over the last few weeks, I've had numerous occasions where I've been seeing friends, family at distance in gardens and, you know, in the right places. And we all do this thing where we like do a sort of virtual hug from 6 feet away. Anybody been doing that? Your hands up. And I think we're all missing hugs. And so this poem was actually written a while back, and it was written from an article in the newspaper, and I think it was called Challington Community College in Cornwall, where the headmaster was worried because pupils were delayed in getting to lessons because they were spending too much time hugging. And he came out with one of those classic sort of head teacher slightly wishy-washy statements. He said, we don't want to penalise people who are hugging. We don't want to forbid hugging. We just want to avoid any unnecessary hugging. So at the end of this poem, if we maybe could all just have a quick virtual hug, I think that'd be really nice, because it feels to me like that's what these Zoom things are about largely, is us being able to just see each other and have a moment of closeness. So this is called, this poem is sort of imagination of a hugging college where people are taught different ways of hugging. The Hugging College. Our motto, hugging is less unsightly than wind farms as a source of renewable energy. Our mentors will tailor an individual hugging program for you based on your previous hugging experience and family background. Two popular classes, one, the long, soft hug with smiling face over shoulder. Two, the well-meant but quick pat on the back hug for those with a more position. We run special modules for men, which include an almost invisible hug using two little fingers. Peace hugs and hugs against war are well-established classes. Mohair hugs, dungaree hugs, yes, a bit last millennium, but the courses are still running at our centre in Hebden Bridge. If you want a taster, why not try the party class, the drug hug, the just gotta give you a hug hug? Our full weekend courses with tears can help you soften those family hugs, exorcising the muscle tensions derived from years of sibling cruelties and jealousies. You want references, I hear. Blair and Bush trained with us in the public pragmatic hug and their specialism, the United Front. Our advanced courses include the sumo hug, the bitchy hug, instances of a shoulder, the ex-lover hug, accompanied by flashbacks of candles or knives. We are currently working in partnership, developing a hugging program with the Home Office for Habitual Offenders, Hug-a-Thug. Our research shows hermits will find hugs in dreams. Footballers will run forever to earn the next leap in the air and cuddle. And children will hug silence when they have no one else. Anybody going to hug? Shall we have a hug? Let's have a hug. It's been lovely to be here. I don't know how long it takes to get back from Cork to Coventry tonight. It's been lovely. Thank you.